Well, thank you guys for being here. I love the singing. I want us to keep that going. And it's good to see you. And I've been pushing your Friday night class in my classes. I mean, this is so important in our culture today. And we'll have a lot more to say about that, I think, as the year goes on. But take her seriously about that, guys. Take advantage of this. For several weeks now, we have been studying the topic of spiritual warfare, right? You remember? Yeah, we've been talking about that for quite a while now. And we've been focusing on Ephesians chapter 6, and we've learned that we have enemies, right? Satan and his demons, they're our enemies. But we've also learned that God's given us weapons to overcome them. Now, guys, take me seriously here. You really do have enemies. Satan is very aggressive, and he's very subtle, and he's very crafty, and he would love nothing more than to deceive you and destroy you and ruin your life. But he kind of has to have your permission to do that, especially if you're in Jesus, if you belong to Jesus. We're going to learn more about that, but you've got power over Satan, and you don't have to give in to him. But the world, he's speaking through the world out there, and there's a lot of lying going on, and we Christians have to get ourselves equipped so that we can handle that, so we'll recognize it. So God says, I'm giving you some weapons, and I'm giving you some armor. Keep it in place. And what we started doing so far is looking at the belt of truth. Remember, that's all we've looked at so far from Ephesians 6, a belt of truth. And we looked at the truth about our sin. If we will recognize the truth about our sin, Satan won't be able to lie to us about it. And the truth about God. If we can remember the truth about God, Satan won't be able to get away with his lies about God. He'd love to lie to us about God. So today, we're going to wrap up this belt of truth. There's plenty more we could say, but I want us to talk today and think today briefly about the truth about us, what God says is true about us. If we can get our minds and hearts wrapped around God's truth about sin, about God, and about us, it'll go a long way towards keeping Satan backed off. Believe me, guys, it's important. How many of you know what a Christian testimony is? How many of you ever heard a Christian testimony? You know what it is. Okay, many of you have. What comes to your mind when you hear Christian testimony? Give me an example, or what's it all about, or define it, or what is a Christian testimony? Anybody? Yes?
A story of what God has done in your life.
Okay, good. Emily, that's exactly what it is. It's a story, it's a statement about what God has done in your life. Yeah. And I love that. That's a good definition. Did you just memorize that, or just come out of your head? It's really good. It's really good. That's a story about what God has done in your life. So what are some things you might hear in a Christian testimony? What might people say? For example. Go ahead, Claire.
They talk about who they were before they were saved, mm-hmm. how they got saved, and then what happened.
Good. It's a really good testimony. This is what my life used to be like. I got saved. Now my life is like this. That's a good testimony. Or for some of you who got saved very young, it might be, this is what my life would be like without Jesus, but this is what my life is with Jesus. That's a good testimony too. Who started to say something else? Somebody over here started to say something. No? Maybe the same thing? Okay. But that's good. That's good. So a testimony turns out to be the truth. So we're talking about the belt of truth, right? The truth about what God has done in us, for us, what God says is the truth about us. We need to know that. We don't need to be deceived by the enemy about that. And God tells us a lot about this in the Bible. He also tells us a lot about Satan in the book of Revelation. There's a lot about Satan in the book of Revelation. But one of the things he tells us about Satan in the book of Revelation is in chapter 12, and it's on your sheet there, about the second paragraph, I think. And it's Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. He's been talking about Satan, and he says, "And they," that is the believers, the Christians, "overcame him," that is Satan, the devil, "because of," and he mentions three things, "the blood of the Lamb." Now, what do you think that means? What's he talking about? The blood of the Lamb? What's he talking about? Jesus, when he died on the cross, right? He shed his blood. What did he do on the cross? He conquered Satan. He conquered sin. He conquered death. Yeah, he did that for us. You remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." You remember in the Old Testament, they sacrificed a lot of lambs, right? Started with Passover. Remember at Passover, they sacrificed the lamb. They smeared the blood, and they saved the children that way. Remember that? Jesus is the ultimate Passover lamb. He's the one who came to die in our place so that we could be saved. So we conquer Satan through the death of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the blood of the lamb. And look at the second one. "And because of the word of their testimony." These believers knew what was true about them. And so Satan couldn't lie to them about themselves. They knew the truth. God had shown them the truth. That's us. We need to know the truth. And then look at the last one. They did not love their life even to death. Now, for some people, that's a little scary. But listen, guys, I've told you before. The latest statistic on death is what? One out of every one person dies. Yeah, that's true. You're going to die. I'm going to die. We're all going to die, right? It's appointed to men once to die. We like to think, well, that's when I get really, really, really old. Well, I'm getting there. But it happens to young people too. And God says, don't be afraid of it. Don't you dare be afraid of it. I've overcome death. What did Jesus do after he was crucified? He was buried. What happened after that?
He rose again.
He didn't stay dead. He conquered death. He said, I've conquered death for me and for you. Just trust me. I'm going to get you through this thing. Paul says death has lost its stinger. Did you hear the story about the kid in the car that was allergic to bee stings? Have I told you that one? He was with his dad in the car, and the kid, if he got stung by a bee, it could kill him. He would swell up, you know, the histamines would be released. So he was in the car with his dad, and there was a bee that they realized was in the car, and the kid started screaming at the top of his lungs. He was terrified he was going to get stung. And his daddy reached up and grabbed the bee, and he held it for just a few seconds, and then he let the bee loose again. The bee started flying. The kid started screaming again. Dad said, wait a minute, son, calm down. Calm down. Look here. There's the stinger. It's gone now. He can't hurt you. That's what Jesus did for us. He took the sting out of death. It can't hurt us. It's not going to hurt you. Promise, it's not going to hurt you. So he says, I'm not afraid of death anymore. So Satan's going to try to lie to us about ourselves. He's going to tell you things like, oh, he'll tell you all kinds of stuff. You're no good. You're stupid. You can't amount to anything. You've blown it so badly. God can't use you. You're defeated. God doesn't even know you exist. He doesn't care about you. He'll just lie and lie and lie. And he'll say, you don't need God. You can know all you need to know. That Christian stuff's for all those dummies out there.
Thank you.
Let's help Miss Alice.
Just can't bend over for
him. No, I can't bend over. It's too late for that. So we just want to remember Satan is a liar. And he's trying to lie to us in our little brains about ourselves and about God and about sin. So we just want to say, wait a minute, Satan, I know the truth. So what I've done is given you a sheet of paper. We're not going to go over all this. It'd take way too long. It's just a partial list, by the way. You could probably think of some more things to add to this. But it's some things that God says are true about you. And I want us just to really briefly look at two or three of them anyway, or maybe four or five. But look at that first one. According to God's word, I'm a child of God. That's worth meditating on, guys. A child of God? God himself? We're his kids? That's an amazing thing. You may have heard that so many times. It's kind of, yeah. But think about it. Children of God. God's going to take care of his kids, right? That's an awesome thing to say is true about us. It's true. God says it. Look at the next one. All things, not some things, all things are working together for my good. You going through a rough time? Of course some of you are. You'll go through more rough times. God says, I'm going to use all that. It's going to be good for you. I'm going to build your character. I'm getting you ready for eternity. When you go through a rough time, just remember, all things are working together for your good. God says that. He promises that. Don't lose hold of that truth. Skip on down there and look at, I think it's number 6 down there. It says, I'm a new creature. Do you realize that? If you trust Jesus, you're not who you once were. You may say, well, I feel the same. But watch out. Don't go with your feelings. God says, you're a new creature. You're not the person you once were. You're brand new. You belong to God now. It's like a new race of some kind. You know, you're in Jesus. Look at the next one. I'm a citizen of heaven. We think we're citizens of the United States, and we are, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is we're citizens of heaven because this country's going to end one of these days. Heaven's not. We're a citizen of heaven. Skip on down to number 10 that says, I'm a stranger. You see that? I'm a stranger and pilgrim here on this earth. Like I said, my citizenship's in heaven. Look at the next one. I'm an ambassador from the kingdom of God. Do you realize that's true of you? You say, I don't feel like an ambassador. I'm not sure I want to be an ambassador. It doesn't matter. If you belong to Jesus, you are. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a stranger here. You're an ambassador of his kingdom to the world here. That's who we are, guys. It's not a matter of whether we want to be. It's just who we are. We need to accept it seriously. Flip the page over. Look down, about 6 of them down there. It says, I am loved by Jesus. Isn't that awesome? He loves you. Well, you say, well, I've done a bunch of bad stuff. I don't always behave very well. He loves you anyway. He does. One of the great theologians of all time, somebody said, what's the greatest theological statement you ever heard? He said, it's this. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Have you heard that before? Of course you have. You've sung it since you were little kids. Yeah, Jesus loves me. That's the most important thing for you to remember. Don't forget. No matter what you've done, no matter what's going on, He loves you. You may say, I don't feel like he loves me. He loves you. You may not feel it. You'll realize it one of these days. He loves you. Going down a few more, it says, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in me. Do you realize that? When you trusted Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to live inside you, and you're his house now. You're his temple, and he wants you to take care of his house. Yes, but just don't forget, whether you feel like it or not, the Holy Spirit, if you're trusting Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in you. Look at a couple more down there. God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. That's true of you. You say, well, I feel like I've got some needs that God's not meeting. God says, no, you don't. I know what your needs are, and I know how to provide them. I will promise I will meet all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You need to memorize that and remember it. Look at the next one. I have authority over all the power of the enemy. That's Satan. That fits right in what we're talking about. God's giving you power over the enemy. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. You don't have to be afraid of him. You've got power over him. You've got authority over him. God's given it to you. Look at the next one. God will never leave me nor forsake me. You feel like you're alone sometimes? You feel like you wonder where God is? He's there. He's there. He'll always be there. He will never leave you. Don't worry about that. He promised he wouldn't. Look at the next to the last one. God's able to do, look at this. This is an amazing verse. Ephesians chapter 3. God's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than I can ask or even think, according to the power that's working inside me. What is that power? The power of the Holy Spirit. What does he say? He says, I can do whatever you ask. No, he said, I can do more than that. Whatever you ask or even think. And he says, no, I can do more than you can ask. You hear that? You see it? He says, no, I can do abundantly more than you can ask. It goes even further. He says, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask. Isn't that amazing? What's God saying? He's saying, whatever your greatest hopes are, I can beat it. I can do more than you can even imagine. And God wants to do that through us. The only thing that'll mess it up is if we start listening to Satan's lies. Don't listen to Satan's lies. Come against Satan with the truth. God says, I'm giving you the truth about who you are, about who he is, about who we are, about our sin. And he says, I want you to remind Satan of that and remind yourself of that and stay in the battle, okay? Don't forget it. Now, you need to do this. You need to go over that list, get some of it in your heart and mind, and remind yourself and Satan of this pretty often. Okay? Got it? Anybody need to say anything before I pray? Father, thank you so much for this attentive group of kids. Lord, I believe they're listening. And Lord, I believe that many of them realize that we have an enemy. And we know that he is merciless and cruel and ugly, and he's destructive. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy. And Lord, I know he would love to destroy some of these kids in this room. He'd love to ruin their lives. And Lord, he's trying to lie to them right now. He's trying to lie to them. There are things that you call sin that they don't want to admit is sin. And I pray you'd get their attention, all of our attention, Lord, and help us to realize that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. But you give us the truth. So Lord, help us all to focus on the truth about you, the truth about our sin, the truth about us. And help us to drive Satan off with the word of our testimony. Help us, Lord, to know that we can overcome him with the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and loving not our lives even to the death. Thank you, Lord, that yes, we know we're all going to die, but thank you that you fixed that. That one of these days, when we pass from this world to the next, you're going to be carrying us right on through. And we're going to be yours now and forever and ever. And we don't have anything to worry about. So please take away the fear. Please fill these kids with your peace and your strength and your grace and a sense of great victory over our enemy. Thank you that you've done this all through Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.